David Buchanan.
Question. Do you think President Biden's extension of the student loan pause, coupled with his program to forgive that $10,000 to $20,000, which of course got panned by the Supreme Court of the United States, do you think his campaign promise and then his promise after he got elected put borrowers in a much more precarious financial situation? The reason we're asking this today is because student loan payments are officially like rebooted now.
It was an absolute disaster. The way he handled student loans has been a disaster from day one. Now, I know you're going to walk through how this actually happened, but whenever you have something that is poorly defined plan, and you just kind of throw ideas off the top of your head, well, then that leaves everyone kind of in this limbo of like, well, I don't know what to do because I don't know what promises you're making are legitimate and what are just pie in the sky promises.
Well, also, what about projecting? For example, if you said, here's my plan, because I know it's going to leak out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get to the podium. I'm going to announce my plan. My plan is a little, some may sound pie in the sky. Of course, no politician would ever say that. But it sounds pie in the sky. I really want to forgive between $10,000 and $20,000 in student loan debt. And he says this right after he's elected because he has kind of campaigned on this promise,
yes,
right? So this has been put in the minds of folks for many years. But we know, like with anything, there will be somebody who says they're a victim of this program. They'll challenge it in the courts. So I'm going to urge you to continue to make those payments on your loans. We are going to pause the interest, which brings you down to a zero interest, so no interest will accrue. That's great news because on your, like, for example, your $20,000 loan at 6% interest, you will save, you know, potentially a couple of $1,000s in interest just by paying that principal down for the next year or two. Now, if you've hit a hurdle or a roadblock, actually, and you can't hurdle that roadblock, you can not make the payments, but here are the consequences. But he didn't say any of that. It was like just it's going to be a free for all forgiveness program. Lucky everybody. And then the Supreme Court's like, you can't do that by executive order. Get out of here. Sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
No, that.
Do you think that would have helped if you would have just said, I have a plan and here's how it's going to work. But in the meantime, keep paying.
Yeah. But why would you ever keep paying if you think that they're going to forgive the loan?
All right. Good point.
And which is exactly what happened. And we talked to John Curl from Utah Valley University, who runs the student loan program there. And I asked him, I said, did you notice people paying their student loans during this pause? And he said, yes, initially we did. People were taking advantage of paying off their loans because it was interest-free.
Yeah. Okay.
So every dollar was going toward their loan. So that was great. He said, as soon as President Biden said, we're going to forgive student loans, $10,000 to $20,000. He said, you could see it. People stopped paying, which I don't blame them for.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% would have stopped paying. Why would you pay something that would eventually be forgiven? So I don't blame people for stopping that payment plan. But it got overturned by the Supreme Court of the United States. So now they are stuck having not paid anything down and not having taken advantage because Biden's promise came back to bite him.
So you can't count on the government to save you.
Well,
you can't count
not
on
with
the
their magic
now,
wand.
However, there was a little conditioning that went on actually to the tune of thousands of dollars for a lot of American families when there were these checks that got magically deposited into bank accounts and stimulus money over the course of the pandemic.
Great point.
So maybe there was some
great point.
Maybe there's some conditioning going on that the federal government will. I would say to folks, this will never happen again. Like it just will never. I think I got one $400 check back in the 90s during the Clinton administration. I could be wrong. I don't know for sure. I think it was. And we bought like a half a mattress with it. You know what I mean? Like we had to put the rest of the mattress on a payment plan. But this, I mean, it was in some cases, it was more than $10,000 for a lot of families here in Utah. So there's some conditioning and some false hope that a lot of borrowers absorbed and they thought, oh, my loan's going to be forgiven. Wrong. Let me do a little D2 math You know, you always say I'm bad at math. I think I nailed this one. So let's say you have a $20,000 student loan. I think that's about average. In Utah, it's a little less, but we're going to go with $20,000 because it's a round number. It's easy to do the math. And you just paused making payments. You just took that loan out. You got word that there's a pause, and then you got word that Biden, your guardian angel over your loan is going to swoop in and he's going to dissolve all $20,000 of that loan. It'll happen any day. You just keep waiting. So you pause. You don't make any payments. And if you would have paid about $200, maybe $250 a month, you would have paid down with zero interest, right? Because there was no interest occurring during this time. You would have paid down between about $7,500 on that loan. So you would have been at, let's put you at about $13,000, maybe $12,000. Feels a lot more manageable, doesn't it?
Yeah, you reduced it by a third.
It doesn't feel like you've got the weight of the world hanging over your head. For some reason, when your loan gets down to the teens, it feels better. So you don't have as much anxiety, which is good. We don't like having money anxiety. It stinks. But now, because the president failed to save you, on that, you're going to pay on that full $20,000. And if you don't refinance it, which I don't know if that's a good idea or bad idea, depending on your situation, at 6%, you're going to wind up paying an additional $2,000, maybe $3,000 in interest over the next 10 years, which is about the length of the loan generally. So now you're out, let's say $3,000, maybe even more, because you have to pay interest instead of on that $13,000, you're paying it on that full $20,000. So President Biden kind of put you in a more financially precarious situation. Did put you in a more financially precarious situation with his promise.
And we also got conditioned to not paying that loan.
Yeah.
That's going to be, I think, one of the hardest things for folks to do is they've been living for the past 3 years in a world where you didn't have to make payments on that loan. So it's easy to forget, oh, I still have that $20,000, $30,000, whatever it might be. I still have that loan hanging over my head. Now you've got to ramp up again, factor it into your family budget all over again when you had 3 years where they just gave you an excuse not to pay it.
And what's changed since 2020 with your financial picture? Inflation, huge. So looking at the consumer price index, as I wanted to know, like what is buying power in 2020 compared to 2023 to today? And it's the federal government's own website that will tell you this. It's their CPI calculator. And they say, if you started with $52,000 earning that in 2020, you will need to be earning about $62,000 today to have that same buying power. So now add in $200, $250 a month. Maybe it's a little less, maybe it's a little more in student loan payments. Where are you going to get that money? You're jammed.
Yeah, you're
jammed
you're
up.
Incredibly jammed up.
Right.
Which is why you cannot promise this stuff. This is the problem with executive orders. This is the problem of trying to do something and bypass Congress, is that can get overturned, which is exactly what happened. Had they gone through Congress and Congress had figured out and passed a law to forgive loans, that's something you could rely on. Absolutely. But the magic wand of the presidential pen, which is the executive order, will come back and bite you. And I feel terrible for people that have to factor this into their budgets now because the government lied to you and they sold you a bill of goods and now you're paying the price.
But there's hope. All right, we're going to get you out of a jam. I've got a list of programs that'll help with repaying your student loans. They're programs that are tested and they worked, plus joined by a certified financial planner on what to do if you feel like you're jammed up with repayments rebooting.
Dave and Janovic.
Student loan repayments. You got to start paying them again. The program's rebooting as of now, in October. We know that President Biden's forgiveness plan, I'll call it his promise, failed miserably. The Supreme Court crushed it and just said, you can't do this by executive order. That's not legal. So nobody's coming to pay you, to save you. So perhaps we can come up with some programs here. I've got a list here, Dave, that might work for some of our listeners.
A couple things. Number one, obviously, I've never liked any sort of loan forgiveness program. Let me set that aside. The problem I had with President Biden's plan is anyone with an ounce of political savvy knew that this would fail in the courts. Like, everybody knew this was going to fail. No one thought this would get through a very conservative Supreme Court. But what he did is, by trying to push this through executive order, basically everyone that had a student loan was just hit pause. They're like, well, I'm holding out hope. I'm not going to keep paying on my student loans because, well, he might forgive them. So instead of people consistently paying down their loans, they said, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to hold out hope. So that when it failed, when the forgiveness failed, now everybody has to reintroduce into their budget a payment plan that they haven't paid on for 3 years.
I think they should also be digging around to see if one of these other programs that have been in place for years and actually work will work for them. So there's this Perkins Loan Cancellation and Discharge Program. And if you had one of these loans, which last was issued about 5 years ago, and you work in public service, you could be eligible to have full 100% loan forgiveness. So this would be like a full-time nurse, a full-time firefighter, a full-time faculty member at a tribal college or university, a full-time speech pathologist. You have to have a master's degree and work in an elementary school that's considered a Title I or a secondary school, but you could have 100% of that loan forgiven for 5 years of eligible service. You could even be a librarian and you may qualify. And then there's another program, the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. Federal loan borrowers can have their loans forgiven after 120 months of loan payments. So that's 10 years. And you must work for a nonprofit organization or a government agency full time. You got to keep making the payments. But after 10 years, you could get your loan forgiven. And then there's a teacher loan forgiveness program. And if you qualify for that, Dave, you can have up to $17,500 in loan forgiveness. And if you teach full time for 5 full consecutive years, and you have to teach in a low income elementary or secondary school to qualify for that. But there's programs out there that people should be checking into.
That sounds like a nightmare. Just difficult
getting,
to follow.
Getting money forgiven takes work.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes work. I also, Shane Stewart, certified financial planner. Dave was asking the question in the break, like, what about companies? Do they offer like loan forgiveness? Like, for example, I've heard of some cities in more remote areas will forgive loans of doctors or dentists who move there to provide services to the residents there because they don't want to drive, 400 miles to get a dental checkup. So these are things I think that people need to think about.
Absolutely. In fact, you're on the right track. We have to embrace the fact that the loans aren't going away. And I still talk to a few people who think, oh, I'm holding out hope. And I think, oh, forget that. That is not going to happen. Now take some responsibility and find out what you can do to help pay off your loans. And you're absolutely right, Dave and Debbie. There are a lot of things out there that might help qualify. You need to, if you really want some help with those, you need to exhaust that list. Once the list is exhausted, then you go back to some tried and true tenets of paying off debt, things like maybe paying it every 2 weeks or paying a little more towards the principal to get that thing paid down quicker than it normally would be.
When you say pay a little extra, what are we talking? Are we talking $20 more or $100 more? What do you consider a little extra?
Yeah, I've seen people successfully add another $10 or $15, and it does lower the amount of time that the loan is open. However, obviously, the more you can put to the principal each month, the better, the quicker it will be paid off. But there have been a few folks who've said, well, I only have, $10, $20 to put towards that, it doesn't feel like it's going to make any difference. Well, an extra month is an extra month, and if you can pay it off sooner, the better.
So, Shane, by the way, Shane Stewart with DMBA, certified financial planner, joining us on this glorious occasion that a lot of people, I guess, who's going to financially hurt a lot of Utah families potentially of the student loan repayment reboot here. Walk back through that every 2 week payment. I've heard of it before. I've thought about doing it before, like on a mortgage, but I've never done it. How does that work, and why does it put people so much further ahead in paying back the loan?
Yeah. So if you pay every 2 weeks instead of once a month, you end up paying the equivalent of one extra month or two extra weeks. Months are broken down. Every 2 weeks would be 26 payments, whereas once a month would be the equivalent of
24 payments.
24 half payments.
Or
right?
24, okay.
And so, yeah,
12
yeah.
payments.
So you're
okay.
just basically paying an extra month, and it's a way to condition yourself. It doesn't feel like you're paying more because you're breaking it down into every two-week periods, and most people are paid every 2 weeks or monthly. And it helps psychologically not feel like you're paying more, but you actually are coming up with an extra month's payment each year.
So it shaves a month off each year. So if you have a 10-year repayment plan and you're saving a month off each year, that's cutting it down quite a bit.
Almost a year.
Sure. Yeah, okay. You're accelerating that payment.
And you're not paying any more. You're just being more strategic about paying it every 2 weeks.
And psychologically, you actually are paying a bit more in the year, but it doesn't feel like it because you're not paying more out of your paycheck. It doesn't feel like you're paying more out of your paycheck because you're doing it every 2 weeks.
I see what you're saying.
Once a month.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, in the final 30 seconds that we have, what about gifting money? What do we know about that?
You mean folks gifting to other people so they can pay off their loans?
Yeah. Are there like limits and stuff for tax purposes that I have to consider?
Sure. There, if someone was going to gift to another person, there is a gift tax limit. I think we're at about $15,000 right now. But it's basically if you want to gift money, let somebody – oh, it's $17,000 actually.
Yeah.
$17,000 is the gift. You can give $17,000 without a tax consequence. Anything more than that would have a tax consequence.
For either person, right? So if the gifter won't have a tax consequence and the recipient won't have a tax consequence if you stay within the federal limit.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. But that could be a way if mom and dad wanted to step up and give their kids
absolutely.
Some money.
Yeah, if your rich uncle or aunt
right.
wants to help, absolutely.
Just keep it under that limit so then they also aren't dinged for taxes on that too. So
that's right. And that's per year. So just have them give you that gift each year.
Yeah, here's how you do it. You do it in December for the holidays, and then you give them another gift in January. I've got it all figured out. All your rich uncles.
For New Year's resolutions. There you go.
I need new uncles. I don't know. Who are your uncles? They're shelling out $15,000 in December and then again in January.
Hey, look, if President Biden can toss out a pie in the sky, I'm going to forgive $10,000 to $20,000 in loans. And a whole bunch of people bought off, and we can all, I can throw out the idea of just adopting a rich uncle.